ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, our phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check out the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Let's see, I believe Margaret and Madison, among many that emailed me about being on Joy Behar last night.
Yes.
With guest host Valerie Bertinelli, who was delightful, and said, job.
Yes.
I think I made her do that.
I think you did. You put the idea in her head.
Yeah, Julie writes, oh dear, look what you did now. You made America's sweetheart, Valerie Bertinelli, say a job on CNN Headline News. You said asshat, and then she said job.
Yes.
You emboldened the nice girl co-hosting Joy Behar's show right off the slippery slut slope. By the way, after you left, then she said skank, and then thusly qualified alleged skank. Clearly, she's one of us. She is, and she's going to come on. We're hoping she'll come on tomorrow.
Right. She is delightful. I like her.
Well, first of all, I won her heart immediately because I said, you know, I was an extra in Shattered Vows, your TV movie from the 1980s.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yes, when I walked in the studio and I got off the payphone so you could talk to Eddie Van Halen. and she was hilarious. She goes, was I nice? Because there was a little Coke back then. Yes, you were very nice to me. But yeah, you remember that was my—I was an extra in. It was in the summer in the valley. It was 114 degrees, and I had to wear a wool nun's novice outfit because I was an extra in her little movie.
Didn't you like scrub floors or something?
I was scrubbing the floor, yeah. And I would feed Patricia Hearst her lines because she was getting on in age then, and she kept forgetting her lines.
Patricia Hearst?
Yes.
Patty Hearst?
No, Patricia Neal. Neal. That's it. Sorry. You know, Mama's. Wires in her brain. They're flapping around.
Yeah, because Patty Hearst is so much like Patricia Neal. What?
No, okay, I got that completely wrong. My yes. point is, but I was laughing about how old we are, because I'm like, I literally, remember we all had to stay in line for payphones. All the people
right.
on the set, we were all in line to use the payphone, because it was way before cell phones. And she was the star. She had to talk to Eddie Van Halen, so I let her button line in front of me.
That was very nice of you.
And that was our original bonding, and then we bonded again yesterday. But she's hilarious, a big fan of the show. I didn't know how, you know, smart and politically active she is and all of that. So she's going to, I pestered her to come on the show. That's the only reason I do TV, is to pester people in green rooms.
Did she?
Oh, you know who else I ran into is Ali Velshi, yes. The bald-headed prophet of doom. Who was very sweet and said he's just talked about me yesterday, wants me to come on his show. And I said, please, we'd like to have you back on ours, too. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Hal's been on Ali Velshi's show.
What? Did you mention Hal? Is it Wednesday already? Why, it's a hump day.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why, could it be?
Hump day.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if he was finished, you know, setting up his little cameras and things that he does. Good morning, Hal.
Hi, how are you? I'm great.
I'm used
all
to you doing
for you, mistress.
I'm used to you doing, you know, chores around the studio and around my house now. So
that's true. I've split my duties. I've decided that your studio in New York is effectively your swimming pool, and I do shirtless work around it. And wait for Mama to get home. That seems to be.
By the way, Margaret and Madison writes, how is it Hal rolls into town, commandeers your hovel in Calcutta, gets to be on both Joy Behar and Rachel Maddow, and breaks your alarm clock? A lot of damage for a little fellow. Love, Margaret and Madison.
Okay.
I unjustly accused you of that.
Unjustly?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Definitely unjustly.
Here's what I think happened. There's a high and a low setting, and I think you moved it to the high setting, which doesn't work. So I moved it back to the low setting, and then it worked this morning.
Well, then get an alarm clock that works, Stephanie.
Yeah, what kind of... What did you get that with a magazine subscription or something? Where did you get your alarm clock from? Time Life Books?
In lieu of a Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
Exactly.
I like the low setting.
It was like this.
I like
this
to be gently awoken with a little, psst, would you like to get up?
I tried to do that, and you rebuffed me.
You know what? My the alarm's going off in the New York studio again. Can you hear that?
I can't hear it, but I can see
I'm
it
being
on
pulled over here in New York.
Yeah. No, you don't you have a fire drill or something like that today?
Yeah. Yeah, they have a fire drill. You can even hear it in the national broadcast studios here.
Yeah, they warned me about that last week, and I was like, not my problem. I will not be there. Not my problem.
It's not my problem.
That's not my problem.
By the way, Margaret also wants to know, ask Hal if Joy Behar is going to let him stay at her house once you break up with him. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Do you get to stay at Joy or Rachel's house? No.
Did you see the exchange with me and Joy last time, you know, when I was on the show? No. Yeah, I think the chances of me staying at Joy's house are fairly slim at this point.
Why? What happened?
I kind of let her have it. She was sort of pushing this the tiger meme that everybody pushes, which the men are pigs idea. And I was going, you know, first of all,
let me just say right away, I'm on Joy's side, no matter what you're going to say.
Right, I understand. Okay. Well, and she's clearly is already established her thoughts before the facts work their way into But here's what happened. In the tiger, let's say. Look at the tigers. And let's forget for a second that the statistics say that women cheat more than men in marriages.
But you pulled that out of your ass.
No, I did not.
That is not true.
Did not. So it's been that way for a long time. Now, a lot of people argue that that's because they admit to it and guys don't, but at least let that sit for a second. And look at Tiger Woods' situation. You have one married guy being a scumbag cheating on his wife. And you have 15 women who know they are sleeping with a married guy. So
I get your point. Let's look at our marriage as evidence. Which of us is out till 3 a.m. tomcatting around New York City, and which one is home in their dog flannel pajamas sleeping by 9 o'clock?
Denying me sex. How do you expect me to survive as a... I am a man, flesh and blood. I have needs, woman. And then you get all antsy when I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, expect you to roll over and nothing.
The sexual tension between you two is crackling.
It would ruin it if we actually did it. I'm trying to save the show.
Oh, I see. Like moonlighting.
One salmon on Diane did it. Cheers was over.
It's like moonlighting.
Yeah. It's like moonlighting.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they want us together, but when it actually happens, show's over.
Yep.
Exactly. There's no more tension.
Be great, though, I'm just saying, for the record. I'm not bragging, but, you know.
I don't think you or I will ever be invited back on Joy Behar. This is how I dragged a nice girl, Hillary Burtonelli, into trouble yesterday.
I love the one of his supporters, though. We love his frankness.
Michael Steele.
Yes, I guess that's a different word for being an asshat. Yeah.
Yeah. You can say asshat here? This is going to be fun.
You can, because you're a substitute teacher.
I love it. Okay.
Wow.
And then, you know, once you encourage her, then, you know, there's
then
no
you get this.
For some reason, he's protected, but, you know, when a president gets a... they're not protected and they can be impeached. So I don't understand the difference.
I can't say asshat. Okay.
I don't understand the difference.
You're the host. All right.
For now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
I corrupted her in record time. I was only on one segment.
Yeah, I think Eddie Van Halen got a jump on that on you. I don't know how you put a woman who was formerly married to a rock star on a nice little HLN talk show and then surprised when they say beep job.
Where could she pick up that sort of language?
I don't know. Right? That kind of saucy talk, probably David Lee Roth.
Now, wait a minute. Let's get back into the infidelity thing for a moment.
Yes.
Because have you heard the latest? When Jesse James had, what, 11?
Right.
11 missed...
Right. All of them knew he was married. All of them fine with sleeping with a married man.
How can you not know he's married?
Exactly.
He's famously married to Sandra Bullock.
Exactly.
I love her father. Her father defended her. Well, he said he was single. What? Pick up anything?
Yeah, that's stupid.
He's married to one of the most famous women in the world.
Exactly. It disgusts me. That part bothers the hell out of me. Because it's not like some woman finds out that she's dating some guy who has another family in another town. You know, those Lifetime stories you hear all the time. And by the way, that's usually narrowed down to two people. There's usually two women involved in that. And that's it. Yeah. But when you have 15 women who go, I had no idea Tiger Woods was married.
Might I inject a little estrogen into your unending stream of testosterone right now?
I'm for it.
Oh, dear.
Let me just interject the women's point of view because here's the thing, and any other strong woman or successful woman could attest to that, and I'm not, by the way, including myself in this. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I remember Betty Thomas, the director, once was telling me, she's a good friend of Sandra Bullock's, I think she directed something of hers, but she was like, big, strong women movie stars have a really tough time with men. And I remember when she got married, I was really like, oh, that's so cool. Like, she found another strong, successful guy that's not threatened by her success, because you hardly ever see that. But all I'm saying is it's... I've had that fantasy about the power couple. I thought, oh, the Clintons, same thing. I'm like, oh, look at the guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
But at the same time, if you look at, like, Gene Simmons and Shannon Tweed, or Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell,
yeah,
or Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon,
well,
for the time,
well,
and they were together for a very long time. And it wasn't like, that was just a normal relationship failure. I think that's, it wasn't because of 18 mistresses.
No,
you know that is possible. That there are people who can, you know, can have that, but they're rare. That's the whole point. You know, is that it takes.
I was
rare
at Susan.
Individual.
Let me interject a weird thought.
Actually.
I was at Susan Sarandon's ping pong club here in New York.
Of course you were. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you be there? What?
What?
Ping pong club?
Let me just say, I know a little more about that whole thing. Than anyway, we'll get. To...
Oh wait a minute! Really?
Hold on!
Don't just drop that bomb and run, Missy.
Exactly. I've been to Thailand. Is that what we're talking about? Do I need a paddle the next time I come to New York?
I think the important thing is it means Tim Robbins might be available. I think that's my point.
Tim Robbins, frequent Stephanie Miller Show guest?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. And giant boy baby man?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, right, you think you have one example of, oh, here's a guy that can handle a strong woman. And I think there's that aspect of it, too, don't you think, Hal? I mean, I'm not saying the Jesse James mistresses are blameless, but I'm just saying
no, sorry,
there is a thing with men. Like, that's what I thought.
Me,
I was like, I read about the Clintons, and I'm like, oh, they really, because I think they really do love and respect each other.
Uh-huh.
And apart, yeah, not, but I'm...
Oh, yeah, I can feel your heart breaking. It's sad. No,
exactly.
I think, here's the thing. Look at Jesse James. Look at him. And look at every picture. Go back and look at all the red carpet pictures you've ever seen with him and Sandra Bullock. He is staring off to the left. He is not looking at her. She's smiling at him like a child who's found her birth parents. And he is going, hey, how's it going? He has this disenchanted, like, bored view.
It was just one for us. I thought it was one victory for our side. It
There's
was like, oh, one strong, successful woman found another guy that's not threatened by her. Isn't that
Brad
a great...
Brad and Angelina are still together. I know they're not married, but...
Yeah, but there have been rumors about them, too.
But, I mean, you can't live on rumor.
You can't live on rumors, however.
I mean,
yeah.
How many times have you heard that they're breaking up and, that, you know, she's selling the children? You know, like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
May I just say, the answer may be the bombshell I dropped earlier, because I don't think it's a secret. Susan Sarandon is dating someone... considerably younger now.
A ping pong club owner, if I'm not mistaken.
I know. Oh, I'm not sure. He's the owner. Good for her is all I'm saying. Okay. I think,
that's my impersonation of the
forget another strong man that's not threatened by us. I think you just need somebody Gumby-like and malleable and moldable.
Bimby.
You need a little lump of clay.
Right. Someone who will outgrow you. You know what? This is
a tiny post-pubescent lump
exactly.
of clay.
Who goes, well, I thought this was great because it was the only sex I'd ever had. And then
all
women
right.
can start learning what guys have, you know, been stupid enough to believe for a long time. That,
all
hey,
right.
if I get her when she's young and dumb, then she'll never realize what a lame lay I am.
All right. Yeah. You know, I need to... I need to mention that my chances of snagging a boy toy have increased incrementally with my use of P90X, as I've mentioned before.
That's true.
Hal Sparks, nice enough to assemble my chin-up bar.
That's right, you know
before
what I mean.
before he broke my alarm clock it. And left my remote on the floor so that Fred chewed it up, and now I got to go to Time Warner and get a new
it
one.
Was
anyway,
on
it's
table.
A whole thing.
All right.
Stephanie, you have chewed up remotes at your house here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's why you can't leave them down on the floor on the table.
On the floor, on the table.
You can't leave them anywhere. Fred is he's like
but
a...
that's where they go.
I'm not...
I'm talking about P90X
oh,
now.
Okay.
Listen...
I'm not even sure Paul didn't chew it up. So there. Your nephew.
My nephew. All right.
That was kind of cool. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Had me feeling like she's ready to blow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Usher was on American Idol last night.
Really?
He was mentoring the American Idol contestants, yes.
Mm.
Isn't that
good? He can teach them how to be a lady in the street and a... What's
freaking,
the other thing?
And a freak in the bed.
Freak in the bed, yeah. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Frank, you the one to please.
That's right.
We fill cups like double D's. Me and us, what's more when we leave them dead? We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed. It's a...
Woo! Okay.
I kind of disagree, yeah. But all right.
All right. Whatever. He's just, you know, he's just being persnickety this morning. Al Sparks. He's just disagreeing with me just for the sake of disagreement.
No, I was disagreeing with Usher. I wasn't disagreeing with you.
Okay,
I think you're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Good Lord.
All right.
About whatever you're going to say.
By the way, and that's going to make my New York story even odder, Chris, the fact that, as you know, Mama is a rap aficionado. I'm a big fan of all the icy and puffy people.
Yes, you're so street.
Sorry.
Anyway, is just, Hal, you know New York. It's just stuff happens to you in New York. It just doesn't happen anywhere else. So I'm taking my dogs for a walk in the park yesterday, as I do. You know, I take them, as you call it, the Iditarod.
Mm-hmm.
I take my two ginormous white dogs, my Great Pyrenees, across the street to the park.
Uh-huh.
And so I turn the corner, and there's this very nicely dressed black man in a, you know, raincoat, and it was raining yesterday, in a business suit and a briefcase. And he starts immediately screaming at me at the top of his lungs. He goes, "White dogs! You racist! Racist! You racist mother... racist!" And he started following me down the street, screaming at the top of his lungs like a crazy man.
Because you had white dogs?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But apparently he was serious. I just was like, wow, things really are getting bad out there. And you know me, I argue for a living, so I did briefly consider going, "Pardon me, sir, but do you realize I'm one of the most outspoken liberals in the country and a very early Barack Obama supporter. Perhaps you'd like to come over for some Chardonnay and we could discuss this." Seriously, screaming in my face that I'm racist because I have white dogs.
Some of my best presidents are black.
Yes.
Well, here was the punchline, is I actually was wearing a hood at the time, but it's because it was raining and I had the hood over my baseball hat. Here's the punchline, is the baseball hat was a Barack Obama hat. So he couldn't see that I had a... Because apparently I'm the kind of racist that's a huge Barack Obama fan.
Right.
Yes.
It's kind of like the like Republican, like closet of Republicans who vote against gay rights. It's that kind of weird mismatch.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we were talking the other day about Ricky Martin coming out, which, by the way...
Good for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, we always say this, and I think outing is just the worst. I think it's private. Because Ricky Martin, who was he? He wasn't actively voting against gay rights his whole life, like a lot of these Republican hypocrites. I think, to me, it's the hypocrisy. They've actively been, you know, trying to take rights away from gay people for years and years in many cases, like Larry Craig or whoever. So, Ricky Martin, who was he bothering? He was just shaking his bonbon, for God's sakes. It's none of Barbara Walters' business or anybody else what his private life is, unless he wants to talk about it, right?
Right. It's like,
that's the difference.
Right. It's the same issue as if you're in a dance club and you care whether the DJ is straight or not. That doesn't affect your prospects for getting laid at the club that night. It's nobody. Who cares?
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more New York stories. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Trust me, the only way you're going to hook up with someone like
Stephanie Miller
is in your dreams.
Already did.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are in the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks.
It's true.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, to join the party anyways. And we have Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host A Rollicking Right-Wing World next hour. By the way, so New York stories... It is just weird stuff happens. I was talking about the man that was yelling at me that I'm a racist yesterday because I have white dogs.
Yes. Why do you have just white dogs?
Right. Because Great Pyrenees are white. I don't know.
Well, just asking.
Yeah, you just see odd things. Like, my nephew was getting out of a cab, Hal, the other day, and he's like, "Wow, that's a weird, a guy in knickers." You don't see that very often with a woman.
Not off a baseball field.
What's that?
Not off a baseball field.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly, and it was a Sting and Trudy Styler. Yeah.
Sting wears knickers?
Apparently. On this particular day, he did. And then she saw, how do I say this, let's just say a man on a bike where it was fairly large and you couldn't really see the bicycle seat because he's gained a little bit of weight. Uh-huh. And it turns out it was Alec Baldwin.
All right.
I love Alec Baldwin, but he was just mentioning that he's, you know.
Put on a few LBs.
I need to send him P90X, I think, is what I need to do, is all I'm saying. Because I love him. Great actor. Yeah. Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Politically awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
And he starred in The Edge, which is one of my secret fave movies.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, because New York is, you know, in Hollywood, you have the occasional celebrity sighting, like at our B Celebrity Gym that we used to go to, Chris. Well, you still do in Hollywood.
Right.
I have seen. It would be weird people like Fabio and the guy from The Beast, Beauty and the Beast.
Although I have seen three of the stars of Glee at the gym recently.
No way.
Yes.
Huh.
Mr.
Huh.
Shoe, Puck, and Finn.
Hmm.
Fabulous. New York, I think, because it's smaller, it's more packed in. So you know I have my own 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon because he left a message on my machine because I use his dog walker now.
Yes.
He was one of her references. My nephew's like, Kevin Bacon's on your machine. Anyway, so, and then I ran into him and Kira Sedgwick, his wife, in the mm-hmm. park because I didn't realize it was them. They have a black lab how that can run up trees.
Wow.
I'm like, look at that lab running up a tree. And Kira's like, yeah, that's ours. Just weird stuff that you only see in New York. So that's...
Do you have anybody chasing after them, white people yelling at them that they are racist for having a black lab? I guess
that
not.
Would be funny. See, then it would be a magical 6 degrees. Right. That would complete the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon circle for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The most important thing I found out from my life yesterday...
What?
Pinkberry delivers. Oh, this is...
Uh-oh.
Doesn't it melt?
Who knew?
Doesn't it melt by the time it gets home?
No, they have a freezer truck.
Oh.
They would have to.
It's my new... It's crackberry. It's my new crack. It's that... What is it? It's some sort of frozen confection thing mm-hmm. with... Yeah.
It's frozen yogurt, kind of.
Yeah. But it's
Here's
sour.
Why it's great. Yeah. Here's why it's great news that they deliver, because I was in there the other day trying to order, and, hey, you know, I've mentioned before, Chris, that I believe children are the future. I'm going to cancel that. I hate kids. I don't mean that in a bad way. No, just let me. This is just let me ask a point of order for parents listening. I'm just asking. So, if you're in, let's say, because this is like an ice cream shop almost. It's a different, it's a healthy kind of yogurt ice cream, whatever. But so this woman was in there with several little girls, and. They and I walk in.
Nerve.
Well.
Taking little girls to an ice cream store.
I'm just
already.
Asking about a point of politeness.
Terrible woman. Right. Go ahead. I'm agreeing with you.
This is why you don't have children, Stephanie.
Well, that in the state.
I'm just saying, children take a while to decide things. And I just
and
felt
you
it
don't?
Was rude.
Oh, my
no!
God.
No! I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
How there was... whatever, three or four of them, and it was just for the love of fact.
I don't want
they were
sprinkles.
Being.
I don't like the spit. Can I have sprinkles that way? Without
Stephanie,
the red ones,
what?
They were being children,
right?
Well,
that's
okay,
what
but I'm saying, wouldn't it be that they just go? Why don't you go ahead while my little germ wagons decide what it is they actually
germ
want?
Germ wagons. Wow. So your problem is not with the kids; it's with the mother.
No, I finally left in a huff. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't act huffy, but I was like, for the love of God,
you're turning into such a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to go to the yogurt Nazi or something.
It was going on longer than a child joke. I mean, it just...
Oh, no.
I'm not really sure, but... Yeah, Mommy, the mama, is it sprinkles? Do they come without the... Can you get the chocolate ones mixed in with the...
I'm like, what? Oh, I'm just, how long, seriously, does any parent listening know, how long does it take for three children to decide what kind of ice cream they want and what toppings? Till the end of time? Seriously.
They were being children.
Yes. It's adults.
Yes.
I'm saying, I know, and all I'm saying is I think it would have been polite. Why don't you go ahead while, you know, my children are, whatever. Maybe I told you, I could be cranky because I just came back from vacation, and, you know, I flew on my normal airline, Screaming Baby Airlines, and I was trying to rebook my flight, you know, because it was like a delay, and so, you know, you got to get on the phone with the airlines and see how you can reroute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And literally two children right next to screaming at the top of their lungs. I was like, sir, I can't hear. I'm trying to get the, you know, an airline person on the phone. And it was just like a over and over. Oh, you know what he said? He goes, why don't you get off the plane? I was like, what? I don't have a parachute. What? I don't know. All right. So I was, sorry.
Again, problem with the parents, not with the kids.
Yeah.
Yes, that's all I'm saying, is that sometimes
fault
it
lies
is.
With the manufacturer.
Yes. It's like a Toyota.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Your kids have defective brakes.
Did you tell your Prius to shut up for a second?
Is it always going to make that noise? Yeah.
All right. That was my bitter childless loser rant, and good for me. Well, good luck to me in life. All right.
On the other hand, I was asked to be a sperm donor while I was in New York this trip.
No
I'm
way!
In all seriousness.
Really?
Really?
In all seriousness, yes. A lesbian friend of mine and her partner. It was like Shades of Queer as Folk. It was actually a request.
You could be. Are you going to be the David Crosby of the...
Yeah, except without all the LSD coursing through my veins and God knows what else.
You know, Hal, you would be a good choice. Not only are you cute and smart, but you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Drink, drugs, nothing.
Yeah, you're pure. Exactly.
Pure as the driven snow.
Well, I don't know about that, but I certainly don't do any substances.
Now, did you ask them for any hot girl-on-girl bondage, you know, simulated
cool
lesbian sex in exchange or no?
I mean, they're cool with doing it the old-fashioned way, I suppose, to, you know, get what they need, but I...
Although you're not from the RNC, so, you know.
Yes, that's true. I'd have to actually go to their house as opposed to voyeur, which now I want to go to. Now I want to go to voyeur in West Hollywood.
And I was not, as you know, you can attest in person that I'm an elderly shut-in. Mm-hmm. Having never hardly been out of my house at all, I was not aware that there were such, what's the word, Chris, like niches in this sort of thing,
there
as we discussed yesterday.
To dance clubs.
Right.
Right, but I didn't know there was a bondage simulated lesbian sex club.
Sure.
That's kind of a specialty.
Yeah.
Believe me, that's been cranked up by the media quite a bit or whatever, because everybody starts, you know, clutching their pearls the minute anything sexual is talked about on television. So they wear leather, you know, like, okay,
kidding.
Yeah, it's a Judas Priest concert.
My main point is, what kind of fiscal conservative spends that kind of money for simulated lesbian sex?
Seriously.
What? That is, what? A bunch of dopes.
You
should at least get the real thing for that kind of money.
Absolutely. I can, well, never mind.
Yeah. I'm sure there are several warehouses downtown where you could get the real thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is, are you going to be a sperm donor or not?
I said yes.
Did you really?
I did.
We have some breaking news here on the Stephanie.
But it will be. They're actually freezing it for later, so they weren't going to act on it right away. Oh. So we will. That will be an ongoing thing over the next year, probably. But. And it's so ironic because the day after...
Do you have to ice yourself down? Oh, after it...
After, yeah, they're going to freeze out. It in its perfect state.
Oh, okay, because otherwise there'd be significant shrinkage and then they might not...
Yeah, that wouldn't be helpful at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And everything they feared about men would seem to be true. Disappointing.
Exactly. Wow, that was just some odd breaking news we got this morning out of Hell Sparks.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some pub on that.
We might.
All right.
It's entirely possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, speaking of things that hopefully will get us some pub, Margaret has written in about my other crush, Alan Grayson, who we had on for the first time yesterday.
Nice.
He was awesome.
The rockin' congressman. Steph, Representative Grayson and Steffi sitting in a tree, LEGISLATING. That's legislating.
Legislating.
First come loves, then comes bitter personal disappointment, then comes fun... Fred in the baby carriage. Oh,
aww.
Fred. I need to put a bonnet and get him in the egg.
Fred?
All right. No, but I would love to. Somebody suggested that we have him on once a week, like, Tom Hartman has Bernie Sanders on.
Absolutely.
I think we should.
I think that's a Jim Dandy idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he can answer questions from listeners.
Yep.
In one sentence. Because I've noticed he does not go on and on a bit, especially when he's on shows. Like, he knows, he's mastering he's the lefty soundbite guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's hilarious, too. I have a good chance that, there's a good chance that we could both get each other into a lot of trouble, given the opportunity, I think,
on a
weekly basis. I think we both don't need any encouragement.
Right.
But I think together, we really could say a lot of inappropriate things that would garner us both a lot of publicity.
No question. You know, he says something really kind of harsh. And kind of like ringing, and then doesn't say anything else. He completely shuts. Watch when he goes on Chris Matthews. It's the most extreme, because he'll just go, the Republicans want everyone to die. And then
he just has that impish smile.
Right, and then Chris is like, and? I'm waiting for you to go
that's
joke.
That's not fair enough.
Right.
Huh? What? Love it. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. All right. We're going to get down to the real stuff when we get back. We're just chatting
gossiping.
Here.
We're gossiping.
The hour's blazing by.
That is true.
Right. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check it directed. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show up in here. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, I said it. That's why I don't want to have children, because they'll grow up to be just like John Boner, for God's
sake.
It's our new audio crack.
Hello, you cat!
Anything you can do, I can do better.
I came here to do something. That's at the top of our list.
Hello,
no,
you can!
Yes, I can.
No, you can!
Yes, I can.
Hello, no, you can!
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Can you say it was done openly? Without backroom deals and struck behind closed doors? Hello, you can!
Yes, we can.
No, you can!
Yes, we can.
No, you can!
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But no.
Thank you, Tantrum Boy.
Yeah, it was
Lavender.
Only 72 hours.
Right.
Lavender, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I was just listening to your Trials de la Pinkberry.
Yes.
And I wanted to reassure you that you are not the only one who feels that other people's children are the best damn birth control on the planet.
I'm just asking the question, how long does it take three children to decide what kind of ice cream they want and what they want on it? Is there a time frame?
It's a Zen koan. It's the sound of one child clapping or something.
It's like pi squared. It takes so long. I don't know.
It's true, but the problem really isn't the children. I am with you in the zero population growth club, and it's not because I don't love the children, because, you know, I teach the little angels.
Oh, heavens. Oh, and as you can imagine, the children cannot get enough of me. Children love me.
They climb you like a jungle gym, I'm sure. It's not the children that's the problem. It's that I didn't want the job of becoming a parent, because those people are crazy.
There you go. Thank you, Lavender. Well, if I did have a child, I would teach him well. Like, you know, Brandon. If I had a kid like Brandon, you know that I would be a parent like this, I think. You know, the George Bush is a dump truck kid. Don't we have that? That's what I was...
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump
truck. Thank you, Brennan.
Brennan was his name.
Brennan.
Yeah.
I like Brennan. If I could have Brennan. Or the Lying Sack of Crab kid. That would be my kid. Then I could,
you know. Lying Sack of Crab. You Lying Sack of Crab. I am Stevie. He's sticky, messy. He's sack of a good crab.
That's good.
It sounds okay. Just like you.
Shannon in Dallas here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, Mama.
Hello. Go ahead.
I just have to say, first of all, congratulations, Hal Sparks. That's so exciting. It is.
Don't blow it up too big. It's just a thing.
No.
He said blow.
Giggle.
He's going to be a sperm donor.
I'm going to be Valerie Bertinelli's sperm donor.
Go ahead, Shannon.
We missed you last week, but I got to tell you, I'm listening in Dallas. I listen to Seattle's talk radio, though, because I don't think I can get you around here. At least I haven't been able to find you. You guys are fabulous. You have so remotivated me politically, and you couldn't have had somebody better on the air last week for the big news while you were gone.
I know. Would you like him to be your sperm donor?
She's already got that taken care of,
boy.
I bet.
That was... Yes, I will.
Yeah.
All right.
That's yes.
Why, yes. We're just offering it. It's a free giveaway today.
Thank you, yeah.
We're giving out HealthSparks sperm
offer
free.
Offer code Stephanie. Right.
Don't forget to type Stephanie in your box.
What?
Okay. What? Let's go to Jessica in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Jess.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, good, good, good. I haven't called a radio station since I was, like, 13. This is so weird.
Oh, my God. You win tickets to Menudo. Okay.
What?
Anyway, yeah, Hal, you shouldn't have said anything if you didn't want everybody to call, because that's why I'm calling, too, and I think it's wonderful. I just wanted to tell you. No, I really do. We had a little big chill moment, my husband and I ourselves, and a friend of ours asked him last year, well, asked us, you know, and we agreed, and it's been a wonderful thing.
Aw, cool.
Oh, listen, Jessica, Hal doesn't even know this yet, but I took several samples from him while he was sleeping last week in my house, so in case I changed my mind about kids.
Would you just wring out the sheets?
Sad.
How do you think your alarm clock got broken?
Ew. I haven't washed those sheets yet. Ew.
You didn't wash them before I showed up.
I have the HealthSparks version of the blue dress now. I'm going to sell those sheets on eBay.
You have some of his genetic material.
You certainly do.
Did anyone else like HealthSparks to be a sperm donor? I'm selling his sheets on eBay. I could get some coin for that. Let's go to Jen in Rochester. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Mama. I love you.
I love you back.
If you're not going to be there, I love Hal.
I know. Well, who doesn't?
And let me tell you, if he ever wants to have a baby the real way, call me up.
Waka, 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 waka.
Anyway, to answer your question about whether how long it takes three kids to decide on ice cream,
yes.
The answer to that is never. If you want three happy kids, it's never.
Yes, that's what I thought.
If you want to actually just tell them what they're getting and have them screaming and crying, that's probably 10 or 15 minutes. But,
yes.
Yeah, to have three happy is never.
What happens is even if one of them finally decides on an order, then I think there's topping envy. Because then they're like, baby got sprained. It's like that commercial about, you didn't say I could have a real pony. Like, you know what I mean?
And once the kids have licked the ice cream, they're not too keen on putting sprinkles on it.
Right, and it doesn't have the one of them. One of them will probably ask for, like, I want dragons on mine. Okay, look. Your choice
are
chocolate or peanut.
It's only what you see in front of you.
Right.
All right. Oh, boy. Yeah, those were some parental fun facts. The answer is never. See, it was a trick question. It was like a tree falling in a forest, Hal. It was that kind of trick question.
A child falling in a forest. Right. Now,
By the way, I would never push a child down in the forest. That was just from Philosophy 101.
Right.
All right. Let's,
does a child poop in the woods? This is the question. Yeah. I guess. It's, all right.
All right. Let's turn to. By the way, speaking of the Pope, holy moly!
Yeah.
They might drag deeper into the clerical sex abuse scandal. The Vatican is launching a legal defense in hopes will shield the Pope from a lawsuit in Kentucky seeking to have him answer attorneys' questions under oath. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Could you take your hat off before you get in the
in the little box place there?
Yes, Vatican lawyers plan to argue that the Pope has immunity as head of state, that American bishops who oversaw the abuse of priests weren't employees of the Vatican. But, you know, this gets worser and worser, doesn't it, Hal? There's this 1962 Vatican document that looks like it mandates that bishops not report sex abuse cases to the police.
Seems like we're getting close to that point where we draw to close the idea that any leader is flawless and makes no mistakes and anything he says goes. Isn't that time to be over? You know what I mean? Every other system of government in the world. I mean,
what kind of shoots the whole Pope as an infallible thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, even when he was a Nazi? Really?
That's pretty fallible, actually. The whole part where he wrote a note, you know, a memo to all the bishops saying, keep your mouth shut about this stuff. That's pretty.
Well, he's not a detail guy. He was not a detail guy, Hal. He's more of a big picture guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the doodling, the 200 deaf kids, that kind of slipped under the.
Yeah, that's what I said. Radar. It's like this is the second time this has fallen on deaf ears.
Well,
and unfortunately, this time around, it's the bad one. Yeah.
Hal.
Well.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World with Eric Boehlert from Media Matters next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal. Mm-hmm. Hal Sparks in the Los Angeles studio, streaming on halsparks.com.
Yes.
Video streaming. I'm not on camera. I'm here in New York. I want to keep my Greta Garbo mystery, aura of mystery about me.
Right. You showed, last time he was in studio with you, you showed your butt on the camera.
That's
so
true.
And see, well, that's what happens. I lose my aura of mystery when there's a camera.
Right, it's true.
And then I just become... The outright slut that I am.
Yeah, then you get Valerie Bertinelli saying BJ on the air.
I made Valerie Bertinelli say BJ yesterday on TV.
And you said asshat on headline news.
Yeah.
Can you
see
that?
She was filling in for Joy Behar.
I guess so.
One would think I had some sort of plan to make sure they had to get a different guest host next time.
Which is weird. I mean, you could say hat but not hole. I bet that's the case.
I think that's it. StephanieMiller.com is the old-fashioned website without the video streaming. We're the old horse-drawn type.
Yes, yeah. True. It's coal-firing.
You can email us all there. Executive, it is coal-fired. Is Jim Wardman down there putting the coal in?
Yes, and that's why he's not here right now.
Yes, that's my thought. All right. You can email us all there at the StephanieMiller.com. Mama's appearance on Joy Behar, I believe, is up there from last night. And I will be on The Ed Show on MSNBC on Friday, don't forget. Meanwhile, we were just talking about the priest scandal in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Steve writes with some fun facts about married priests. Because I was saying that's, you know, what causes, I think, this abnormal behavior. I think celibacy is, if you want to have no sex at all of any kind, get a radio show, is what I've said. Steph, I'm writing regarding your statement about married priests. We of the Byzantine Catholic Rite are very used to that idea, as our priests have always been allowed to get married, except here in the United States. We do have some married priests now and some married seminarians, although it required some renovations at the seminary to accommodate married couples, and it still freaks out some of the older priests. Hope I can be named the official Byzantine Catholic cantor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we needed one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. There were too many applications for that. That's the first one I've had to deny. We had a lot of those. Ugh. Sorry. All right.
I thought Byzantine was Eastern Orthodox.
It is now.
I don't know. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Our friend Eric Bowler from Media Matters is here. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You seem the only guest we've ever had that does not get giddy about their own jingle. You're too cool for a jingle, I think. But we gave you one anyway.
I like it.
Oh, good.
I sense that's as enthusiastic as you ever get. But, all right. Wait, hang on.
What'd
I forgot. I had to grab your piece from this week, which was great.
What?
It's hilarious, this whole... I didn't grab his, not that kind of piece. The piece he wrote on Media Matters. So, Eric, it is hilarious, isn't it, this double standard, when there is so much out and out, you know, racism and violence and threats, clearly toward the majority, toward Democrats, obviously, because of the health care bill, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you go down and notate all of them.
And what's been so, you know, disturbing to watch on Fox News and the whole right-wing media last week after the, you know, the prick throwing and the death threats and all that was this idea, well, Democrats had it coming. You know, they pushed us
yes.
too far. They passed a bill we didn't like. Therefore, violence is
kind of
expected. And
totalitarian tactics, they say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So not only was there very little sort of outcry about the violence and intimidation and threats, but there was this very creepy attempt to justify it all. And you know, if conservatives don't like bills that are passed and legislation that's passed, then they get a, you know, they get a green light to do whatever they want. It's well, really troubling.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or out and out deny it. I mean, we've seen the tape of you know, a black congressman getting spit on. We've seen, you know, I mean, there's been story after story, and, you know, they're just trying to, Andrew Breitbart, is it? Which I love. My Bruce in Kennebunkport, Maine, right, Steph. Andrew Breitbart needs to be reminded there's no video of a pimp talking to Acorn Worker either.
Yes.
Because he said, yeah, prove, you know, show me the video. Prove that anyone called anyone the N-word.
$10,000 to come up with that video, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And oh, I know. And he, you know, his thing over the weekend, apparently he witnessed some people throwing eggs at a Tea Party Express bus. So he's on this huge, you know, shtick obsession about these people throwing eggs. And, of course, nobody should be throwing eggs at any kind of rally. But, you know, this is the same week that, you know, Christian right-wing gun nuts plotted to kill cops.
Thank you.
They don't say anything about that, but Andrew Breitbart can't sleep at night because a couple of people threw eggs.
Right. Right. I mean, how many, well, exactly, you're exactly right. I mean, we've had, you know, these out-and-out provable actual acts of violence happening that they don't say a peep about. And then how pathetic is the Eric Cantor Me Too about this bullet that fell on a building next to him, you know? And now, and you write about the Ann Coulter thing, that her speech at the University of Ottawa was canceled. And, of course, they tried to put it on, put the blame on out-of-control liberals who made it unsafe for her to speak. And tell us the real story.
In Canada.
Well, yeah, no, the Ottawa police and security at the university, they didn't cancel the event. Coulter canceled the event. And B, so, they weren't concerned about her safety. It was just, you know, they thought it should have been in a bigger venue because, you know, a couple thousand people showed up, and whoever booked her lecture booked a room that holds 400 people. So, you know, Coulter and her conservative allies canceled the event, and then they
so the out of control violent liberal known as the fire marshal is the one that was behind.
Right. And then they sort of cooked up this tale about, you know, loony left wing mobs, and then they feasted off the publicity. And these are the same people then turned around and said, well, brick through windows, that's not that big a deal. Come on, people. I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're planning a Second Amendment rally in D.C., well, in Virginia, just close to D.C., on the 15th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
Everyone's armed. It's going to be a strange day. I mean, obviously, that's Waco, that's Oklahoma City. You know, we've got militias being arrested for planning to kill cops. I mean, this is all, there's a connection here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Let's dive into the right-wing world. The new word for a government takeover is it's entitlement. This health corps is a big, it's an entitlement thing, according to Mary Madeline.
There's nobody, not the CBO, no economist that says over the long term of this, it is financially sustainable. It's not. The way they came up with revenue neutrality for 10 years is to collect revenues for 4 years and deliver services for six. That's unsustainable. This is a huge new entitlement. The country cannot sustain it. We cannot even sustain our current entitlement.
What? I'm sorry. Is the CBO lying? Is that what she's saying?
Well, no, that's very interesting because one of the casualties of all this, if you watch Fox News, is the CBO is now a joke.
Right.
You know, you can't trust it. You could never trust it, apparently. Uh-huh. I mean, and that's really sad. I mean, because of all these budget battles over the decades, everyone agreed, CBO, hands off, let's wait for their numbers. Their numbers are what we use.
And considered conservative, by the way, they err on the side of conservative.
Small c, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But now, because, you know, they came up with a score that helped Democrats, if you turn on Fox News, well, the CBO is a joke, you can't trust it, they rigged the numbers. So, you know, it's yet another institution that the right-wing media is willing to just trash because, you know, it didn't work out for them politically.
Exactly. Mark Stein in for Rush Limbaugh on the health care.
Eventually, even in a massive dependency culture, it just leads to the gray, drab, empty shelves of your average Soviet emporium. There is no future in going down this road.
There are no more Soviet emporiums.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, we're talking about letting people buy health care.
Right.
I mean, they literally...
When he talked about massive dependency, I assumed he was referring to Rush Limbaugh's drug addiction, but that was, I guess, not what he meant.
Not true. But, I mean, the reaction is just peculiar to watch. I mean, these people who, again, literally can't sleep at night knowing that more people can now buy health insurance.
I
don't get it in the most basic sense and why they think it's such an awful thing that people will be able to now buy health insurance.
It's The most evil, brilliant plan I've heard lately is our friend Congressman Alan Grayson was on yesterday, and you know, this whole buy into Medicare. If you know, everyone should be allowed to buy into Medicare if they can afford it, if they want to. How are they going to say that's a giveaway or an entitlement? You buy in if you can afford it.
I mean, right, exactly.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, and but they'll find a way because it's all an entitlement. It's all about the government takeover, and it's all an evil plot. But again, it's allowing people to have health insurance. I mean, this isn't. We're not invading.
It seems to me it's injecting, I don't know, choice, competition, capitalism into. Huh. I don't know how that turned into socialism, but all right.
There it is.
I'm going to see a hand count of all the teabaggers who were on welfare.
Right.
Social Security.
Yeah. Exactly.
Medicare or Medicare.
Yeah, I can't teabag anymore today. I got to go pick up my Social Security disability.
Exactly.
Right. Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck on the radio. Wow, what's it take to be a fill-in for Glenn Beck, I wonder?
God.
I now, too, feel the pain of racism. Racism has been dropped at my front door and the front door of all lighter-skinned Americans.
What?
The health care bill the president just signed into law includes a 10% tax on all indoor tanning sessions starting July 1st. And I say, who uses tanning? Is it dark-skinned people? I don't think so.
Okay,
no, why would they want to be
serious,
any darker?
Right?
That's bad.
Is he serious?
I guess to be a fill-in, you have to talk just like Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Right.
Apparently.
It sounds like, just like Glenn Beck.
Jim, you can get that gig.
He must practice it on the weekends or something. Right. Dark-skinned people, taxes, Obama, entitlement. You know, they're painting a picture here. But
it's the old welfare mothers.
That's right.
Idea from the 80s.
Welfare queens,
yeah,
and Cadillacs.
The environment's gotten weird out there when clearly a lot of these signs, Erica, these teabag rallies, clearly racist. I'm telling you, I was telling the weirdest New York story ever that happened to me. A black guy screamed at me on the street that I'm a racist because I have two white dogs. And I'm like, what? Huh? I think they're, you know, it's like how Glenn Beck calls the president a racist. I think they're trying to take the sting out of the, you know, people that clearly are racist on their side, right, by calling everybody a racist, aren't they?
Right, yeah, no, they're trying to completely take the value away from that. And so, the whole Tea Party, the right-wing movement, has been conducting themselves in certain ways and saying offensive things like the Glenn Beck fill-in. But then if you call them out on it,
right,
you're the bad guy, and you're to blame. And so it's a little...
Yeah, and when someone on their side does it, that's in a gray area, whether that's racist, you know, spitting on a black congressman and calling him the N-word.
Yeah,
that's,
you don't have definitive proof of it, so that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's kind
so
of
it's classic sort of jiu-jitsu. I mean, they take the offensive thing that they're doing and then claim, it's the other side that's guilty of a wrongdoing. Just like it was Democrats who were to blame when the bricks came through their window. They should have seen it coming.
Why didn't they have, plexiglass windows?
Right.
It's their fault.
And so they're playing the game, the sort of new race car game, and that anyone who calls them out is, in fact, the culprit.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Eric Bollert, stay in the sidecar. More right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh, that was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Video kill the radio star. Video kill the radio star.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Rejoined
so what killed
by
video then.
What's that?
What killed video then?
Yeah. Reality TV.
Reality, yeah. Yeah, sir.
It's all so confusing. Let's go to back to Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America as we continue with Right Wing World. Oh, look, it's the prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris on Hannity. Here we go.
What happens if this financial reform bill passes and the Secretary of the Treasury can seize any company he wants in the financial sector? What company is, what CEO, what PAC is going to give money to the Republican Party knowing that Obama could seize them the next day and fire them from their job? I do. I do. And we raise this whole prospect of this web of intimidation in our book.
Oh, I see. So Obama's doing financial reform, Jim, so that he can seize companies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, the dire predictions have sort of moved on from health care now to financial reform. But it's interesting to remember that after health care passed, the stock market was supposed to crash because
right.
this was America hurtling towards socialism. And the day after the health care vote, the stock the Dow hit an 18-month high. So that was sort of one of the very first myths, you know, these sort of business-hating myths that the right wing pushed about health care reform. And so now they're moving on to financial reform, and they're saying, well, if it passes, you know, Obama's going to become the CEO of IBM. So they've just sort of changed their target, but it's important to note that one of their central accusations about health care completely fell apart.
Well, gosh, Jim, and we thought Dick Morris's breathless rants about health care were scary.
Yeah,
financial reform sounds even worse.
I haven't even got to hear breathless. I'll barely get to two words, and I'll be sputtering. That's falling on this Jim.
All right. I don't know, Eric. We just he's the only pundit we know that gets winded by a run-on sentence.
We also, right. by the way, sold our stake in announced the selling of our stake in Citibank and Citigroup. The next day as well.
Mm-hmm.
That we, you know, talk about like not wanting to run a company.
Right.
You know, the minute they were like, "See, they're trying to take over the whole banking," they're selling everything we own in Citigroup. All right.
Boy,
had a profit.
You know, it's getting a little desperate over at Fox News. Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Friends, is she trying to jump on the whole Bill O'Reilly war on Christmas bandwagon?
Yeah.
Apparently, Eric, there's been a war on Good Friday.
Right? You know what? If anybody had a blood pressure, whatever you call that cuff that you put on somebody, bring one out to me because I'm about ready to expire. I mean, where are we going in this country? Who's going to stand up for the majority of the people and say this is crazy? This is absolutely crazy. As a couple ministers said in the article that I read, why the heck would you celebrate Easter if you get rid of Good Friday? I mean, that's the entire meaning
what?
Of Easter.
What? Huh?
Good Friday's been canceled? What?
It's okay Friday now. It's not good
yeah,
anymore.
It's, yeah.
If you ask Jesus, I think he'd say it sucked.
Yeah.
That was the bad part.
That was not a good
for
Friday
me.
For
yeah.
me. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It sucks to be me day.
The best part is, I mean, the crazy part is, this is Fox News, where during the Lent season, what has Glenn Beck been saying? Leave your church.
Right.
Leave your church if they mention social justice. So
yeah.
If there's a war on Easter, I think Glenn Beck is leading it.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that. No, I wasn't told, Glenn, that Good Friday's been canceled. I guess, they're grasping for straws over there to avoid covering the blatantly racist and violent events that are being fueled by the right. O'Reilly talking about how it's all the same, although probably worse on the left.
The anger on the left, to me, is much more demonstrative than on the right.
I don't want to say
because
that.
On the right,
yeah,
you
sure.
hear it on what? Talk radio a little bit, but the Tea Party
bit?
People have been pretty mellow. They've been pretty mellow. I mean, with all the demonstrations that they've had, with all the crowds that they've had,
the
10,000 people in
people
Nevada, and there was nothing
calls.
Going on.
How many people from Coke Bink showed up armed?
Yeah, exactly. How many of them spit on a congressperson?
Well, I mean, that was the thing about this quote-unquote protest over the weekend of the health care vote. I mean, usually when there's a protest, people get a permit, they stand on the grass, there's a parade of speakers. This was a mob. This was
yep.
a mob roaming the steps of the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the code
video
pink.
You saw, I mean, you could
right.
just sense the almost this just pack mentality, and they're just looking to lash out and scream. And that was not a protest. That was a mob.
Yep, absolutely. Eric
mob,
Bollert from Media Matters for America. Thank you, Eric. See you next week.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes. I'll tell you the difference between our protesters and theirs next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
He's insane. And on top of that, she's like 60.
Bastard person. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jeff. Hello.
Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. Going once, going twice. Let's go to Rula in Riverside, California. Were you named after Rula Linska?
Hello?
Hello, Rula.
Hi.
Were you named after Rula Lenska?
No.
Okay. Just checking. We have a Rula Lenska fixation on the show.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The guy that was talking about the tax on tanning beds was only for fair-skinned people.
Yes.
I'd say, no, that's not true. My daughter is mixed, and I'd say she's about the color of, say, Janet Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And she and her friends, they go to tanning beds, like, before a prom or something to get rid of their tan lines from playing sports.
Right.
So it's not just for pigment.
Yeah, I can't even believe we're discussing this. I can't even believe he really was serious.
Yeah.
That's racist. That's really the big issue in America is the tax on tanning beds.
And it's not the fact that drives up the cancer rates
yes.
for everyone. And long-term, that's a big cost that goes into health care, and it's preventable.
Yes.
And vitamin D.
Yes, that would be the reason. Right,
no,
exactly. That would be the reason is to prevent a carcinogenic practice, as you say, Hal. And then apparently later on that same show, when he was asked about the blatant racism toward, Democratic Congress people, he just refused to believe it, despite the fact there is video evidence. And by the way, who makes that up? That crazy Michelle Bachmann said she didn't believe it either, meaning she's calling her fellow congresspeople liars. Who lies about being called the N-word? I mean,
which is why you need to vote for Terrell Clark.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yay, Terrell Clark. And get your 10,000 grand picture, your 10 grand picture with her. Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin are charging $10,000 for a picture with them.
That's right.
Oh, as a fundraising thing at a rally for Michelle Bachmann. So, Terrell Clark on her site has a thing where you can Photoshop yourself into a picture with Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin for free. It's called 10 grand picture, I think. And it's on, if you go to Terrell Clark's website, it's on there.
Hilarious. Jim in Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, I'm just wondering why it's assumed that the brick throwing and spitting and name calling and all that is coming from Republicans or conservatives when it's happening with Democrats in their own backyards among their own constituents.
How do you mean?
Their constituents aren't Democrats, sir. I would assume the ones that are upset at them are the ones that did not want health care to pass, correct?
But there were a lot of Democrats that didn't want it passed also, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but not for the reasons, not the kind of reasons that you would bring a gun to a rally or throw a brick. It's because we had policy differences, minor ones.
So automatically you're thinking that if a brick's thrown, it's done by a conservative or a Republican.
Well, it depends on who it's chucked at. I mean, you obviously don't. I don't chuck bricks at my friends.
Yeah.
So clearly if one gets chucked at them, I'm not going to be the first person they call the cops
on. It's going to be from the opposition.
And by the way, sir, the polling shows that 80% of Democrats support health care reform. So, I mean, mathematically, no, your point is not really. There's not many Democrats that were against health care by the time it passed, I would say.
You can't prove that it wasn't Martians doing it.
That's true. But you can't. Yeah, it's hard to prove a negative, I suppose. Wow, that's a great argument. How do you know you didn't punch yourself in the face?
Where would you guys get the crazy idea that someone would throw a brick through someone's window, spit on them, and call them the N-word?
Why did you think that they invaded Poland? They might have invaded themselves.
Right.
You don't know this.
They dragged us there. They put hooks in our skins and dragged us across the border.
Here is, I was mentioning before the break, the difference between our protesters and there. Here is the Code Pink protester and Karl Rove.
Look what you did. You outed a CIA officer. You lied to take us to war. You ruined the country.
Here's the deal.
The comfort I take is that you're going to rot in hell.
With all due respect, this goes to show the totalitarianism of the left. They don't believe in dialogue. They don't believe in courtesy. They don't believe in First Amendment rights for anybody but themselves.
Okay, here's the difference. Jim, you and I have talked about this. First of all, everything she said was true, and she spoke in complete, comprehensible sentences.
Right.
Whereas the people on the right are just at
Flurg!
The... Flurg is
Nazi
the main thing heard at...
Kenyon!
Or some sort of racist, homophobic, sexist kind of...
Apparently the First Amendment is only for things that Karl Rove agrees with.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That anything else is totalitarianism.
I can't say what I want, but you can read it on my sign. It says no extremisms and no
I just was laughing because they were, long, full sentences full of facts and nuance. That's the difference. They're pros are like, hit you with brick, N-word!
Yeah, apparently to them, 50-cent words are an entitlement program.
All right, let's go to George in Gary, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, George.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, baby.
And Moose. Oh, by the way, Hal.
Yeah?
I have to tell you, there is a big void in progressive radio at night, and you did a hell of a job last week. I really would like to hear something at night besides house music all night on the station I listen to. So
house music.
You ought to talk to the people and see if you can get yourself a show.
Talk to the people, Hal. Talk to the people. Get yourself a show, for God's sakes.
That's not why I called.
Ron's
Stop freeloading on my show and my couch,
seriously.
For God's sakes.
Ron can start trying to kill me for the insurance money.
Anyway, the reason I called was that I saw Letterman last night, and they had a teabagger lady on there.
Uh-huh. Oh, all right. Well, you just go ahead and hang up on yourself. I think that's best.
We lost him.
I didn't see that. All right. I don't know what that whole point was. Let's go to Jeannie in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hey there. I think that they should put these protesters in the cages, the free speech zone cages. That
right.
They put our,
right. Yeah, where are the free speech zone cages?
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
Those are safe for war protesters.
Maybe we should have free speech nets where, girls, naked girls simulating lesbian sex drop out of. And
there you go. Michael Steele would be for that.
Yeah.
That's
Brian in Miami on Michael Steele. Hi, Brian.
Hey there. Michael Steele's a great example. You know, you talked about how nobody would ever, claim that they were called the N-word or treated in a racist manner just for the heck of it. Michael Steele's actually a perfect example of someone who did exactly that. I don't know if you remember when he was running for lieutenant governor in Maryland.
Well, he didn't say N-word. He made up the Oreo story.
Yes, the Oreo cookie thing, which was crazy because he went on all the television stations and claimed, yes, I had Oreo cookies thrown at me. And all that footage from the debate and not a single cookie thrown, not even so much as a glass of milk to dunk him in.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. If you're going to lie about a cookie, I would lie about a cookie that's not so visible on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Lie about a Nutter Butter.
Exactly. Because that you could miss on video. But there's video of the vets, and you would see him being pelted by Oreos.
Yeah.
I've lied about a Nilla wafer when I was...
nothing more profound.
Kim Jong-il was pelted by Zagnut.
Nothing more profound has ever been said on the Stephanie Miller Show. Lie about a Nutter Butter. Just saying. Michael in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey, here, just before I get to my other point, here's a phrase that Michael Steele will never hear. And that phrase is, you are a credit to your race.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about
nobody says that anymore.
Anyway. Let's go to Carl in Ohio. Hey, Carl.
Yeah, hey, Steph. Hey, that fellow that called in a little bit ago, the conservative fella, seemingly thinking Democrats are throwing rocks.
Right, at themselves.
Yeah,
it's like when your brother used to lie on you and go, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Democrats are hitting themselves. Yeah.
Well, Democrats were unhappy with health care because, a lot of us wanted single payer or public option, things like that. The Republicans, on the other hand, were screaming socialism. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's Armageddon. Much more rock-throwing attitudes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, and that's the thing that I think they misconstrued, Carl, about the polls, is that some of the disapproval, you're right, is people. It's not liberal enough for a lot
exactly.
of people. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they make it sound like, oh, everybody's against this socialist health care. But it's like, no, because it's not socialism enough. Like they have in France. Can I have my French music, please? Sarkozy, did you see Sarkozy and the president yesterday? The French president lauded the United States for passing a health care bill that extends coverage to millions of uninsured, welcoming our nation to the club of states who don't turn their back on the sick and the poor. Ah, j'accuse. From the European perspective, he said, when we look at the American debate on reforming health care, it's difficult to believe. He said, if you come to France and something happens to you, you won't be asked for your credit card before you're rushed to the hospital.
Exactly. That's the leader of their conservative party.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. He also explained in his speech it was astonishing to the French that a violent debate erupted in America over the notion that the poorest of Americans should not be left out in the streets without a cent to look after them. And by the quote-unquote, to large degree, Christian conservatives in our country. Right. By the people that call themselves Jesus lovers. By those people that think that's crazy.
Yeah, Canada has a conservative premier, France, Germany. I mean, none of these people would ever dream of getting rid of their health care system. Nope.
Yeah, exactly. By the by, wow, the health insurance companies have not waited a second to be even eviler asshats than they were during the healthcare debate. Can you believe someone would actually say, first of all, we could probably get out of that pre-existing existence.
Yeah, they're just kids.
Thing with kids.
Yeah. Specifically about children. That's the funny part. That
so
they were,
kill a bunch of kids. What?
Yeah, whatever.
What? Their bottom line.
So here's their new plan. Since passage of the Affordable Care Act, health insurance companies have begun laying the groundwork to blame Democrats for the increased health care costs that they plan to impose on consumers. Last Tuesday, the Cigna CEO told Neil Cavuto health care premiums will continue to increase despite the new health care law. And in an interview with Charlie Rose, the Aetna CEO said his company also plans to jack up rates.
Okay.
He said, well, some of the things that will drive up those premiums are significant additional taxes the industry will ultimately have to pay in the first year. He is, how do I say this?
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes, the health care law does not tax insurance issuers until 2014. Yep. Moreover, insurers are disingenuously trying to point the fingers at hospitals and doctors to avoid a conversation about their own failed efforts to control costs while raking in profits.
Yeah.
Well, and also, apparently they believe the children are our future, too, but future liabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As opposed to assets.
I believe the children
cost us money, so we have to deny them coverage.
Right. Yeah. Whitney Houston needs to do a new one of that, a song parody for the insurance companies.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show, Hump Days with Hal.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet with the open
You look ridiculous dancing to this on Skype. I see you in L.A.
Well, no, all three of us were dancing, and you can see it at Hal's
We're all on
stream.
Camera, yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning from Chippendales, everybody. Yeah. 50 minutes after the hour. Go to thehealthsparks.com for the man meat. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Is Hal spanking himself while dancing?
Oh. One can only hope.
Well, if you need, I need a stunt spanker if you need to get down here.
So I was calling about Hank Hill, the Republican who said that, you know, Democrats are throwing rocks at their own offices.
Yes.
You know, if these right-wingers want to be listened to on liberal radio, could they maybe come up with their own thoughts on occasion?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I am calling with today's Republican talking point. And today's Republican talking point is, everyone does it! Everybody else does it!
Yeah, you can hear the paper crinkling from the talking point.
Right.
They're just, yes, that they've
gotten off. But how can you say that when it is clear that the Democrats are doing it to themselves, which has been proven scientifically?
I am not a conservative or a liberal. I am an independent. I'm a small business owner, and I
just stumbled across your show.
And I agree with some of your points, except for all the ones.
Except for all of it, yeah.
Right.
All right. Tiffany in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I'm a tanning salon owner in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And I just wanted to say something quickly.
Okay.
Regarding Hal's cancer remark, actually. Mm-hmm. There's actually no scientific proof that tanning beds cause cancer.
They should have vitamin D dispensers.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you'd have to drink 100 glasses of milk to get the same amount of vitamin D as you do from one tanning session. We have a lot of people who are prescribed tanning for different skin conditions,
right,
for depression, for osteoporosis, a lot of things like that.
So you're an expert. John Boner, is that a spray-on or tanning bed?
I would have to say that's a spray-on, honestly,
yeah,
and probably not a very good one.
Right.
Yeah, I used that for my prom in the 70s, and I was completely orange. It was
well, no, that's when the self-tanning technology wasn't very good.
Right.
It's gotten a little bit better.
They're still
better
marbling
now,
around his neck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better now, but it's not, you know, perfect. But the tanning techs thing is frustrating because a lot of salons are on the verge of going out of business because of the economy as
right.
it is. And I think a lot of these will put them over the edge. I think I'm fortunate I have a bigger salon. I don't think it will cause many problems for us. However, I think it's going to close down a lot of places. and a lot of people are going to lose jobs, and they're not going to get the revenue from the tax that they were looking for. And it's just frustrating that it was the Bow tax talks initially, and the AMA and the American Dermatologic Association and Allergan, the maker of Botox, lobbied Washington so hard to get it changed to the tanning tax, and not many people know that. And dermatologists actually lobbied to be exempt from the tax because they actually use the same machines in their offices to treat skin conditions that we do in our tanning salons. They lobbied, and they're exempt from it now. And the reason they lobbied is because they know it's the same equipment.
If you go to Lancet Oncology, to the medical journal, you can actually see one of the research in one of 20 studies that's actually linking skin cancer jumps by 75% in people who start using tanning beds before the age of 30.
Well,
now,
the
granted,
is,
they also
want overexposure. That's the problem. Right. The burning is the problem. If you're responsible about tanning and you don't burn,
that's the thing is that in healthcare, it's not really about you're not in this situation. You're trying to mitigate the fact that most people aren't as responsible as they should be, or they wouldn't be in a circumstance where they, you know,
exactly
have to rely on somebody else.
John Boehner.
Yeah.
Although if she's right and she's an expert, it is spray on, which
right.
means the lovely whoever the lucky Mrs. Boehner is, it's probably the only woman that knew how to get orange rings out of a collar continually.
Hello, you can't.
Yes, I can,
the weirdest
honey.
Bed stains you've ever seen.
Hello, you can't.
Exactly. Imagine washing those sheets. Oh.
Yeah. Oy. We're back to that discussion again.
Yes, all right.
Hey, that
all right.
mashup of a pink berry and sperm donor got me thinking if Hal's lesbian friends want sprinkles on their frozen sperm.
All right.
What?
Jim, people may have just tuned in and they have no idea
what
we're talking about.
Something for the first hour.
Yes. All right. If the right wing is now going to be on the side of insurance companies and the big banks, I say go for it, like the president
Absolutely.
Does. Mm-hmm. Yes. Representative McCotter, Thaddeus McCotter, Republican of, where is he, Missouri?
Michigan.
He said, President Obama's mantra of hope and change has degenerated into tax and hate. He said in an interview, look how he demonizes oppositions. Look at what he's done to insurance companies.
Oh,
look at what he does to Wall Street.
It's all Obama. Yeah, no one hated Wall Street before Obama got in power.
Yeah.
The meltdown happened in 2008.
Right.
Yeah. As we had mentioned before, the Boehner had urged the big bankers to stand up against little punk staffers on Capitol Hill trying to implement new Wall Street regulations. So
yeah.
Here they are. They've gone from the side of big insurance companies to the big bankers who also are so downtrodden these days.
Yeah, you go with that. It's your core constituency.
Yeah, the GOP just a little out of step with Americans on these issues. Large majorities in recent polls say they have an unfavorable view of Wall Street and believe Congress and the president need to reform our financial system now.
That means more regulation, by the way, not less.
Yes.
Mary Madeline.
The Mitt Romney dance continues to be entertaining. Oh, by the way, so I love this. On the Today Show, Matt Lauer wondered how the historic health care reform legislation that Obama signed last week could be good for the American people in general when it didn't receive one single Republican vote. See, that's the liberal media. They feel they need to ask the question they don't
that's
notice.
A Fox question.
Right.
Exactly.
And
the
a
Republicans.
Dumb one, like a bad Fox question. Like even Fox people would go, how does that even, what? How does that work
It's
out?
Obviously bad for the American people because the Republicans didn't vote.
What?
Yeah. Obama responded by noting the Republican Party made a calculated decision, a political decision, that they would not support whatever we did. He then added the bill incorporates all sorts of Republican ideas and is similar to what Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. He said it is a middle-of-the-road centrist approach, which is true. He said the overall architecture of it was actually something that was right down the middle, which is true.
And Matt Lauer knows that, but it's his corporate overlords that made him ask that idiotic question.
The GE company that's now running pro-Ronald Reagan commercials. Have you seen those? Holy crap.
By the way, an MIT economist who advised Romney and Obama on their health insurance programs attested to the plan's similarities. He said basically it's the same thing. He called Romney's claims about the different ways he and Obama financed their plans disingenuous.
Yeah.
Or in other words.
You're a lying sack of
crap.
Mittens.
His career is over. His presidential run died a week and a half ago.
He's toast. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sometimes people send me things online that make me giggle.
Like?
There's anything with websites with cats. It started with catswholooklikehitler.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we slid down to catswholooklikewilfredbrimley.com.
Cats in sinks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has your cat got diabetes? Get your supplies sent to your house.
It'll make you
have
saying
a better life.
And feed your cat oatmeal.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
That right-wingers are blaming Democrats for the violence against them, and I was mm-hmm. saying it's like the version of your brother sitting on you and going, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Right.
So Julie sent me it's a picture of a large cat that appears to be standing on another cat under a box, just squishing it. Sibling cats say, why you squish yourself? Stop squishing yourself. I'll send that to you. You can put that up on the website.
Right.
All right.
Obama's supposed to be talking soon on energy security, just so you know.
Well, on drilling off the coast of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Cantor. Okay.
Well, he was not for drilling during the campaign. And
mostly
now
West
he's
I know.
Coast, but
I
yes,
mean,
I agree. Is, so
I know.
Bit of a
I
problem.
Know.
Yeah.
No drill, baby, drill off Alaska, though. I wonder if Caribou Barbie will open her pie hole about that, I'm guessing.
Well, the Exxon Valdez is a one-off. It's not a big deal. What could possibly go wrong? You betcha.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Oh, like Julie in Seattle did. I have a love letter for me and a hate letter for Hal.
Uh-oh.
Let's get to those.
Da-da-da-da.
Yes, Stephanie. I made Valerie Bertinelli say BJ yesterday on CNN.
Oh, wow.
On Headline News. Yes, she was hosting for Joy Behar.
I
said asshat, and then I encouraged the America's Sweetheart to be a bad girl, and then she said, job. And they had to bleep it.
Did they bleep it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
right.
She followed with.
I was screwing with the substitute teacher.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Julie writes, whatever it was that army of scientists did to you at that refurbishing spa in Palm Springs did wonders. You look 10 years younger and fabulous. Why, thank you, Julie.
Yeah.
I had a Brazilian butt lift at the
Riviera?
Fabulous Riviera Hotel.
You have to have a Brazilian butt to get it lifted?
No, you have a Brazilian guy do it.
No, I just had a massage at the Riviera. It's a fabulous. If you go to Palm Springs, you must stay there.
It's a great place. I've stayed there.
Yes.
Joke night, but no.
Strangers touching my naked body, that is delightful.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, Hal, here's your hate letter.
Okay.
Andy writes, OMG, OMG, I'm getting ready for work. And I have to respond to what Hal is saying. First of all, I love Hal. I think he's a genius, hilarious, and awesome. Today, he's being ridiculous. The only people who did something wrong in Tiger's or Jesse's situation were Tiger and Jesse. Regardless of their admittedly questionable morals, the women that those men cheated with are in no way to blame. The blame must rest squarely and solely on the shoulders of the men who broke the vows of their marriage and cheated, period. To try to place the blame on the women is to continue to support sexism. The men... up, but somehow we must still find a way to blame women. Really, Hal, I expect better from you. Now stop being ridiculous so I can get ready to get to work on time. Thank you. Andy.
Okay. First of all, I was not deflecting blame from those guys. I was eliminating the false concept that somehow there's this cherubic clone, like women are the innocent victims, this horrible man acting. There's 15 women who knew a guy was married sleeping with him.
I've always depended upon the kindness of strangers.
Yes, right. I just don't buy that, you know, the men are pigs, but women are somehow, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's just, how about everybody in those circumstances?
I was coming at it from the strong woman viewpoint that I was like, oh, it's a guy that isn't threatened by a strong, successful woman. Look, he's, you know, prominent too, and isn't this the most delightful, magical...
For the record, I am not threatened
by a
strong,
successful
woman. I
thought that about the Clintons, too.
As a matter of fact, I've slept with her in her bed with her dogs.
Who?
He is not threatened by a strong, successful woman.
Yeah, I've slept in her bed with her dogs.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah. No wonder I can't compliment you. Jeez.
You don't know when a compliment's being hurled in your direction.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe this is the bricks that guy's talking about. And I'm just throwing these duds for you. These little love grenades.
Listen, with my self-esteem, trust me, I am too busy hitting myself. You don't have to stop hitting yourself. Here's the thing we were talking about. One of the woman's dad... Mm-hmm. I love this. He has defended her for sleeping with Sandra Bullock's husband. He claims his daughter was assured by Jesse that he had split from his wife. Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, seriously.
Turn on a television or pick up any magazine.
Right.
He's married to one of the most famous women in the world.
Right.
He said, as far as I'm concerned, they were two single people going out with each other, and there's nothing wrong with that.
What?
James said they have a thing now where they kind of live apart, and she's on the scene for movies and stuff. Oh, I see, and he's allowed to as many tattoo models as he wants.
Yeah, never.
They have a special arrangement like that.
Great message to all you ladies out there. Whatever, don't let your man leave the house because apparently he's fair game. What's that? And don't leave the house yourself. If you go to work and someone sneaks over and sleeps with your house husband, tough.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
What? What?
From the Department of No Kidding, Sandra Bullock probably deciding to divorce Jesse James. This is what the breaking news is this morning. Although she wants to end their union, she has no plans to gain custody of any of his three children from his previous two marriages.
How odd.
And the latest count, we're at 11, according to the National Enquirer, 11 mistresses for Jesse James.
I just feel sad for Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Me too. Sources say he turned his office into a sleazy sex den where he played porn movies and engaged in rough sex with a string of lovers.
Gee, who could have seen that coming?
Okay, I don't see the sleazy part. Sex den I go with, but... Yeah.
He's even had sex with other women right under Sandra's nose. One girl said Jesse would take her into his office and lock the door while Sandra was in the garage.
Why was Sandra in the garage? Was she locked in the garage? What's going on? That's so weird.
The Enquirer has also discovered Jesse's Nazi...
Car's engine wasn't running, was it?
Right. Is she in the back? Is she in the front seat with a note on her lap?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
The Enquirer has also discovered Jesse's Nazi memorabilia that he kept in his office and home that he shared with Sandra Bullock. I guess that wasn't a warning sign. Jesse was reportedly photographed wearing a Nazi regalia and giving a Heil Hitler salute. So, he has apparently a surfboard with Hitler on it.
Whatever. What?
The Fuhrer was very big on surfing.
He was just a big fan of Surf Nazis Must Die, the 80s.
Cowabunga, my hair.
Yeah, cowabunga, my hair.
By the way, Chris, you and I discussed this before the show. I'm having a very bad insomnia spell.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, I keep, in the middle of the night, I am watching every movie Patrick Swayze ever made. Last night, Point Break. Awesome. And may I say, I think some people are right. I think Point Break Patrick Swayze, even sexier than Roadhouse Patrick Swayze.
Mm, that's a tough one.
You know, go with the more obvious Ghost and Dirty Dancing choices, and when you get to the layers of Patrick Swayze yumminess, I'm just saying you end up with Point Break.
But Point Break isn't the movie to watch when you're trying to go to sleep.
It was what was on. What can I tell you? I'm not paying for premium channels.
Turn
you know.
It to C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, not millennial sleep.
I love Keanu Reeves in anything.
Uh-huh. You know, they do live Point Break here in L.A.?
Yes, on stage.
Yeah, and you go, they actually are doing it at a bar downtown now. And you go down, they pick somebody out, and you play the Keanu Reeves part. And then they just feed you your lines. And there are certain points where there's big plastic wrap, and they throw water on you, and you're surfing. And it's awesome. It's awesome. It's called Point
Break Live. The final scene on the beach is just no, Bodie, you're going down, man.
You have to go down for this. People died.
People died, man. Oh, it's awesome.
Sounds like every other movie role I've ever done.
Yeah.
Didn't he do a Shakespeare movie? Like Midsummer Night's Dream or something like that? And it was this. He had the same accent in that, too.
Yeah.
Very.
Prithee,
okay,
my lord.
Harsh. What light breaks through yon window breaks. Oh, hey, Juliet, what's up?
Through yonder point breaks. No way. Line?
All right, D-listed writes, Kate Gosselin goes off on her Dancing with the Stars partner. On last night's Dancing with the Has-Beens, Never Wases, and Shannon Doherty, Kate Gosselin's partner Tony felt his sanity slowly slip off of him like Auntie V's wig during one of her late afternoon naps. The cause, of course, was Kate's signature whining, nagging, and moaning. It's called the bitch shuffle. During one of their rehearsals, Kate repeatedly stabbed at Tony's nerves with a dull knife by telling him how to teach her the dance steps. Kate probably yells... I don't know if I can read this on the air. Kate probably yells at her own ass when it farts too loudly, and it's no surprise she got bossy with Tony.
Wow.
He ended up walking out on her.
Oh,
that was what happened.
Kind of like John Gosselin.
Yeah.
So
I think it's gossip fever, but apparently in the chat room, which where we have over 400 people, by the way, chatting away like crazy, they believe a rumor has started that I have slept with Kathy Griffin, and I have to nip that one in the bud. That has never happened.
Who started that rumor?
I don't know.
At least she didn't look like Kathy Griffin.
I looked down. I looked away from the chat for 2 seconds, and I look back, and there's this flooded idea that never.
Just because you're offering to give your sperm to every stray lesbian
doesn't mean
that you've slept with everybody.
Yeah, seriously.
Although he did sleep with a griffin. I've heard that.
That's so true. That, yes, a lion with an eagle's head. Yeah, with wings and an eagle's head. But who can blame me? I mean, hotness.
Oh, I stand corrected. Keanu Reeves was in the movie version of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes. Well.
That's
pretty much all of his movies, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and Chaz Bono was asking a judge to formally change his name and gender, you know, formally Chastity Bono. Mm-hmm. And may I just applaud her on that, Chris? Because as you recall, me remember many years ago, didn't she come on one of our radio shows and she shook my hand? And I still have broken bones from that.
I do, too. That was the firmest handshake I've received from anybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I could have seen that coming. I was like, oh, I'm delighted to meet you.
I think Spock might have a stronger.
I haven't shaken Spock's hand. I've shaken Chaz Bono's
hand. It was a Vulcan death grip.
It really was.
I remember watching you on Sonny and Cher when I was... Yeah! Oh! Okay. All right. A Florida woman, here's, you know, that Morgan Freeman is just encouraging bad behavior. Freeman. Florida woman reportedly robs a bank, citing her bucket list. For a Florida woman who says she suffers from leukemia and bipolar disorder, robbing a bank was something she wanted to do before she dies. She was arrested 3 days later. She said she suffers from non-terminal leukemia, oh dear, and bipolar disorder and was not taking her medication. But she fulfilled that dream.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Now she'll have the dream of a prison sentence.
Right.
I don't think that was on the list.
No, right. Well, maybe it is, you know.
17 minutes after the hour. Back with the new education bill and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Well, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Spring has sprung here in New York. Nothing makes me happier unless it's Pro Flowers for Easter. This offer will make your heart sing. Ready? 15 Easter tulips for just $19.99. Or upgrade to 20 Easter tulips plus chocolates for just $10 more. Even better, both offers come with a free glass vase. Tulips are a perfect gift to send to friends or family. Or brighten your own Easter table with this unbelievable offer from Pro Flowers. If you've never tried Pro Flowers, what are you waiting for? Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to stay fresh for 7 days. You can't lose. Trust me on this one. Here's what I want you to do to get this incredible deal on these Easter tulips available only online. Go to proflowers.com right now. Click on that little microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my password, Stephanie. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Stephanie. Don't miss out on this offer. It ends Friday. Order now. Proflowers.com. Make sure spring has sprung for you and your loved ones this Easter. Give the gift of Pro Flowers. Do it now. Proflowers.com. Type in Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Not saying this guy was a teabagger, but police say motorist fleeing officers in Cleveland abandoned his car and jumped a fence, landing in what turned out to be a prison yard.
Huh. Oh, dear.
Good aim.
Wow, that's like a Monopoly escape. You just did not pass go, did not collect $200, went directly to jail.
You know, this headline seems to be written directly for the Stephanie Miller newscast. Cucumber in butt was failed suicide bid. Headline, a Hong Kong man was taken to the hospital to have a cucumber removed from his
area.
Bottom.
Area.
He's told doctors he inserted it in a suicide attempt. He said the method was a variation of the Japanese ritual suicide harikiri.
Harakiri.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with a, you know, a sword normally, right.
But
not really
not,
sure.
Not with a.
It didn't work, sadly, for him. I guess if it's what was his desire. That reminds me of that. What was the vicar?
The vicar. Remember, yes, we were talking about that. We were telling Hal about that story during the commercial break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
And if this guy, if this
he had to have a potato removed from his backside because
he was
hanging curtains in the nude was the story, and
so far so good. And he fell
on a potato
on the potato that was on the table,
and some chives and sour cream.
It's delicious.
Right, and tinfoil.
Yeah.
And he left it in his butt for half hour at 375 degrees.
If this guy, Chin Wei, had a slap chop up his butt, he could have made a salad.
Absolutely. He could have julienne fries with his rectum.
Yeah.
That's sad. No.
You're going to lick my nuts.
They already do in the chat room. I'm just saying. Chris, they really do.
All right. So, you know, we've been talking all morning about this, you know, provable just rage on the right, whether it's these cop killers, these violent right-wing extremists that have been in the news, and just the countless incidents of violence and threats against Democratic Congress people that voted for health care, racist, homophobic, it goes on and on. This one, we talked about just an Obama bumper sticker, and I think we've all had these experiences, like during the campaign, but the Nashville resident, you heard this one? He was driving home and he was suddenly and intentionally rammed from behind, enraged at the sight of the Obama bumper sticker. He flipped him off first. He pointed at the back of my car, the bumper, then flipped me off. Then he honked his horn at him for a while when he was stopped at a stop sign. I looked in the rearview mirror again, and the same SUV was speeding, flying up behind me, bumped me. He had his little girl in the car. He said he applied his brake. The SUV smashed into the back of his car. He then put his car in park to take care of the accident, but the guy started pushing his car using his SUV. Pushed my car up over towards the sidewalk, almost up onto to the sidewalk.
I think that was a
mindless rage.
Health insurance executive. The girl had a pre-existing condition, and so he's going to
Very angry about that.
Or it could be, some Republican politicians with anger management problems that regularly have tantrums on the House floor. It's our new audio crack.
How long you can't?
Anything you can do, I can do better.
I came here to do something. That's at the top of our list.
How long you can?
Yes, I can.
How long you can?
Yes, I can.
How long you can?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Can you say it was done openly?
Without backroom deals and struck behind closed doors? How long you can?
Yes, we can.
No, you can.
Yes, we can.
No, you can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But no.
Anything you can do, I can do.
Yeah, the bill was posted online for 72 hours before the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Shano. Lynette in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lynette.
Every time you play that John Boehner thing, I can't stop laughing. That is
Oh, no, you can't!
Yes, you can. You can't stop laughing.
Hello, you can't!
Yes, you can.
Oh, my God. Okay, the reason I'm calling is because I went to a Michelle Bachmann rally. A few weeks ago, and my friend Mike is always saying, let's go to the cable access station and get the camera and film something. And I said, okay, Mike, let's go to the Kill the Bill rally and do that in St. Paul. The minute we got there, it was like we were accused. Immediately, these two huge guys came up to us with, like, skull rings. They were so scary, and they're like, they're with a certain organization. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, had to be, like, on the spot. Like, all these people are looking at us, like, where are you from? And I'm like, cable access?
Wow.
It was just, like, so intense.
Did you see Michelle Bachmann literally, I mean, called congressmen liars? She said that they're making up the racist incidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
but when you're there, it's like there's so much anger. And I went there because I wanted to ask people, you know, what kind of health care they want or what they have. And I have to say, from being there, I learned nothing. It's just a bunch of angry people, and I really learned nothing.
Yeah.
Except I was just kind of scared. We kind of went into the Capitol building to escape for a while because it was kind of intense.
Except you learn, wow, Michelle Bachmann's even crazier in person than on Fox News.
Cable access, by the way, is publicly funded, so it's clearly communist. You have to be socialist. Don't tell
29
them that
minutes
time.
After the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But women do have one insatiable need, to jabber.
Oh, please. I finally met my match in Hal Sparks. I've never met a man that talks more than I do. That's why we're perfect for each other. He doesn't even breathe, for God's sakes.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you talk without breathing?
I was born with a second set of lungs that actually extract oxygen from other chemicals that you know, that I produce myself. So I can it's sort of like inner gills. I drink energy drinks and I extract.
We've learned two fun facts about Hal Sparks this morning. He's going to be a sperm donor for his lesbian friends, and he has gills. Everybody.
And I talk more than you do, apparently. Which
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, the pillow talk would just be endless. Mm.
Oh, my God. You guys would be up all night.
That's so good. Yes. By the way, I insist the next time I come to New York, and this is going to happen whether you joke about it or not, this is actually going to happen. You and I are going to spend the night in the same bed. This is going to happen.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. I'm
That's titillating, isn't it? But, you know, we have the moonlighting rule here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We cannot do it or the show's over.
Exactly. It'll just be to build the tension to an unmeasurable level.
I'll just get naked and really close to you and go, I'm not touching you.
Right, exactly.
I'm not.
That's good. It's what Mr. Sparrow...
Pretend you're Sting. Pretend you're Sting. Right. No, don't touch me.
By the way, I have a Sting-related, one degree of separation story, but I'll only tell you off air.
Oh, really? You can't drop bombs and run.
No, you can't do that here.
Yeah, I can.
Oh.
I'm forced to say things all the time.
You can!
Yes, I can!
Chris forces me to say things all the time that destroy my professional and personal relationships.
Right.
I can't tell that story on the air. Okay.
I rest my case. Notice I still have professional and personal relationships.
Yeah, notice he's not at home.
That's why you're
every
out till 3 a.m. and I'm in bed every night by 9 o'clock alone.
I was out till 4. But anyways...
Can you come save me? Apparently we're going to have flooding in the east now. Eastern flood scatter residents is the worst awaits. It is really rainy here.
I can sandbag for you. I'm not afraid of that.
You're a sandbagger.
Liz in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Stephanie and Hal and everybody. I just wanted to let you know that I live near Michelle Bachmann's district. And unfortunately, I have to drive through that district every day to get to work. I live in Chisago City and work in Shoreview. And I have to go through her district. Interestingly enough, I have a Franken and Obama sticker on the back of my car yet. And now here's my little 20-year-old car. And I am driving to work. You know, in the slow lane and stuff, taking my time. And several times I have been accosted on the road. The first time was this huge blue van who drove up next to me, held this sign out the window. I can't repeat it, what it said about Obama. Then proceeded to pull in front of me, slam on their brakes, and they kept giving me the finger.
Wow.
I called 911 because I was terrified. You know, I didn't know if they were going to open up with guns in the back of this blue van. And 911 told me, well, it's freedom of speech. And I said, road rage, you're telling me is freedom of speech? My life, I'm in fear of my life. And she said, well, did you get a license number? And I said, yeah. Well, needless to say, I did call Al Franken. I called Amy Klobuchar.
Good.
I called everybody. And I even wrote a letter to the president because I said, and I'm constantly getting the finger and harassed on the road because of my signs I still have on the back of my car.
Yeah.
So your freedom of speech is meaningless, but their right to run you off the road is protected.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is unprecedented. I mean, as much as they hated Bill Clinton, even, Liz, you didn't hear this. I mean, there really is an undercurrent, I think, as the president was saying yesterday, that people who don't think he's president, who don't think he's legitimate or something. I mean, when have you heard talk about repealing laws immediately? And, you know, I mean, first of all, any legal expert would tell you it is constitutional, and that has no chance, and the Republicans have no chance of repealing it. But it's just, it's like they're saying the president is not legitimate. We are not going to follow this law.
Exactly. I work in healthcare, and I work with individuals who, you know, have severe depression and things of this sort, just a variety of individuals. And when Michelle Bachmann is inciting people to slit their wrists in opposition of healthcare, to me, that is total bonkers.
Yep. Thank you, Liz. Telling the story earlier. Jim, I had the weirdest New York story ever. The just incomprehensible rage is getting worse out there. I had a black man scream at me that I'm racist because I have two white dogs.
Right.
And I was wearing an Obama hat.
Mm. But did you have a white hood over the Obama hat?
No, I didn't.
Okay. See, I could see that.
No.
By the way, for the record, Bill Clinton was a southern white man with a drawl.
Yeah.
So their reaction to them to him might be explained.
Hal, I don't think you're wrong. They were saying, you know, I've read you know, analysis like that you know, that's why in some ways Clinton appealed to, you know, such a wide swath of people, because even though he was technically progressive, I mean, you're right, he you know, he was a good old boy. He got away with, you know, a lot of stuff that good old boys like to get away with, I guess. You know,
well, George Bush was a corporatist, you know, from the East, and came and sold cowboy as a way of getting into office. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, obviously it works. That old
He went to twang dialect class before he ran for president.
I totally love to have 20 beers with that guy and hit on his sister.
I'm fixing to do my dissertation.
President Obama went across the Potomac to put the final touches on health care reform and enact a massive overhaul of the nation's student loan system. The president called his pair of bill signings this past week two major victories in 1 week. Will improve the lives of people for generations to come. He just keeps on keeping on. The president
today, we mark an important milestone on the road to health insurance reform and higher education reform.
And then he talked about student debt, which he and Michelle had.
Today, two out of every three students graduates with help from a loan, and often they take on a mountain of debt as a result. Here in Virginia, the typical student carries almost $20,000 in debt. Across the country, the average student graduates with over $23,000 in debt. I know what that's like. Michelle and I had big debts coming out of school. Debts we weren't able to fully repay until just a few years before I started running for office.
The other thing, too, that nobody talks about this in this, like, student loan debt that gets jacked up over time is mm-hmm. that a lot of kids take on credit cards right out of school right. because mm-hmm. such a large portion of what they're of their minor income is going towards paying off their student loans
mm-hmm. right.
that they don't have spending money. So they basically accrue other debt while paying down their student loan.
That 30% interest
exactly.
rate.
Exactly. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. they're paying interest on one, you know, $1 twice, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead of the things that Boner is always screaming are bankrupting our children's future, how about things that actually are bankrupting mm-hmm. our yeah.
Right.
The president talking about that.
Today, we're making it easier for responsible students to pay off their loans. Right now, if you're a borrower, you don't have to spend more than 15% of your income on loans. But starting in 2014, you won't have to pay more than 10% of your income in repaying your student loans.
Communism!
Yeah, call me crazy. Seems to me like he's really trying to do things that are really helping real people mm-hmm. out there, you know, whether it's getting health insurance or helping address real problems. Robert Gibbs on the health care.
There have been countless studies, one by the Business Roundtable, on the effect that business will see in lower premiums as a result of health care reform.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the insurance companies, as I said earlier, are already saying, yeah, we're going to have to jack up the rates,
yeah.
Tanya. Sorry, mm-hmm. it's Democrats' fault because of the taxes. And
whatever.
Oh, look at all these kids with pre-existing conditions. Ah, they're going to have to die. Oh, well. More where they came from.
Jeff in Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to another show in the afternoon, and they had Sarah Palin on audio saying that if you see a car with an Obama bumper sticker, the next time you see a Subaru with an Obama bumper sticker, pull them over and ask them how that hokey changey thing is working out for them.
Jeez. Yeah, with a gun to their head, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe while you're reloading.
You drag them from their car and, you know, yeah, get a tire iron out. It's natural. Yeah.
I don't know. How's that twitty-quitty thing going for you, Caribou Barbie?
You're right.
Becky in Arcadia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beck.
Hi. You know, with teabaggers thinking that Obama is not a legitimate president, I have to say one would be hard-pressed to find a Democrat who thought Bush was a legitimate president.
But yeah, he actually wasn't a legitimate president.
He was never elected.
Yeah.
He was chosen by the Supreme Court, and then they stole it in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by the way, some people are going to prison for
that very thing, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Kentucky. Isn't
yeah.
Your,
and yet, state? Jim, you never saw, you know, on our side, you never saw the us saying we're not going to obey the laws. We're going to repeal them. We're going to, they're, you know, we're going to sue over them. I mean, you know, and it's ridiculous. All right. Meanwhile, Hal, I saw you printed out at my house a story about the president's poll numbers,
yeah.
which are actually very similar to many presidents, but
they're actually better. Better than Reagan's and Bush's seniors at this point.
Well, there you
by
go
a lot.
Again.
Exactly.
50% to 29% in the case of Reagan having 29, I think it was, and Bush Sr. was 32%, I think, at this point. And Obama's got a secure 50, even with all the vitriol, all the hate, all the selling points that they've been using.
Oh, by the way, I saw, oh, my God, you know what the worst part of insomnia is, Chris? As I was flipping through the channels, and I accidentally hit on Hannity.
Yeah, they rerun that thing all night long.
Oh, I watch it. I've watched it never. You know, I make you do that.
Yeah, thanks.
You've accidentally hugged Hannity at radio conventions.
Oh. But anyway,
he grabbed his ass.
He was doing... Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He was doing one of those town hall things. The show was... and this poor liberal woman, I just met her at the Talkers Convention here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
She should have gotten combat pay. It's her with three against one. And so, of course, every time she talks...
Which poor liberal woman?
What's that? I don't know. And then and then Hannity, every time he asked her a question, he just completely talked over her answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whoa. Seriously, what do you liberal would sign up for that?
Why won't liberals come on my show? They're afraid.
They're afraid
of the truth.
It wasn't Kirsten Powers,
she's a
was
professor.
It?
I met her at the Talkers.
Oh, smarty pants professor.
Jane Hall?
No. Hmm. Blonde, the hot blonde woman, professor at somewhere. But
I love her, hot blonde woman, professor at somewhere. She's awesome.
For the love of God.
She's my favorite. Cause, you know why? Because I don't mind a strong, powerful woman.
There he goes again.
Don't get me started on the Sandra Bullock argument again.
He was hurling a compliment at you again. And you didn't.
Oh, please.
God.
You ducked.
No one even vaguely buys me as a strong, successful woman. Whatever.
Jim is right. You ducked when he hurled a compliment at you.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Like George Bush with the shoe.
But the shoe in this analogy would be love.
Oh,
the love shoe.
The love shoe.
The long-awaited sequel to The Love Boat. The love shoe.
It bounced off my low self-esteem plexiglass.
Yeah. You're sailing right over your head.
Yeah, all right, it's like a sneeze guard on you for love. That's what it is.
Sneeze guard of love.
Right.
All right, so he did get a bump in the polls after healthcare, but the CNN poll showed Obama's approval rating up to 51% from 46% before the healthcare bill passed. The real test, of course, for Obama and Democrats is whether they can build momentum on healthcare to win to repair Obama's damaged approval ratings in Congresses before the next election. I think this is what they're afraid of, though. The more people start realizing, you know, that the lies are lies about healthcare and that there are good things in here and they're actually helping people, I think that this probably will turn around. One pollster said the same thing. He predicted the plan will grow in popularity over time as the public learns it includes a ban on denying coverage for pre-existing conditions and helps seniors close the donut hell hole in prescription
drugs. Donut hell.
It is a donut hell. Yeah. My mother's in it.
Yeah.
I know people have been in donut
hell.
See,
you think I'm making a mistake when I'm really not, when I'm unintentionally brilliant.
Yeah.
When it comes to health care and insurance, the pollster said, once reform passes, the tangible benefits Americans will realize will trump the fear-mongering rhetoric opponents are stoking today.
No, we have to wait until 2014.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't...
Well, some stuff kicks in right away if the weaselly asshats at the insurance company don't find loopholes to get out of it.
Yeah, the reason it takes, 3 years essentially is because of infrastructure they have to build.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of legal wranglings because what will happen is some state will offer a public option. California or Washington State will offer some version of that. And then people will try to sue to get it into the exchange. And so you have to establish rules and regulations so that people don't get bounced out of one thing where everybody who's got the worst illnesses in the country all go to one state's plan.
Right.
So you have to establish that, okay, if that state's going to offer it, then every state maybe has to offer that, except the ones who opt out. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done.
A lot of billing hours.
Exactly.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, the president's thoughts on the teabaggers and much more as we conclude Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show. Next.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I said, come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go.
That's what I came here for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank
it's
you.
True.
52 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mark in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
hi, Mark.
Good morning. I'd just like to take a moment and acknowledge that on Progressive Radio, we can actually disagree about certain subjects and discuss them in a rational way.
Hello, we can, Cat!
Policy disagreements about the president.
Like, hello, you can't!
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can. And we can do it in a way that's fun and also entertaining, I think. But here's my point. I have some concerns about Obama's performance in the area of prosecuting these past war criminal Republicans. I have some concerns about the policies of indefinite detention and the fact that we are still killing innocent people in Afghanistan with cruise missiles and various other weapons. That's unacceptable. We should be prosecuting those people as criminals and showing our prowess as a nation by being just.
You know, Mark, right. You know, the weird parallel universe we've gotten into now is we've got a right wing that sort of just incomprehensibly hates the president and thinks he's a socialist. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us on the left that are like, he's too centrist. What the hell?
Right. You know, where did you get that he was too liberal for this? Like, and it's always the most liberal ever. And he wants to take everyone's guns away. And he wants, you know, force feed granola to your kids like he's making foie gras. Right.
He's a constitutional law professor. I think he knows that he can't take your guns away.
Yeah. Yeah. But, insofar as Afghanistan and Iraq, a good piece of news is that in the drawdown of Iraq, which is actually happening on schedule for having 50,000 troops in there in August, like they're moving out at a big time. I was talking to a couple people at MSNBC who had just gotten back from Iraq, and I was under the impression there'd be about 35,000 troops there as support. Once we got out, that was my minimum number, and they said it was more like 15, which is an extraordinarily small, almost Okinawa, South Korea border level of troops, which is kind of unheard of. I mean, under the Bush administration, we were talking 100,000 there perpetually forever. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're really talking about 15, max 20,000 is kind of is a really big shift. It's a huge shift.
Heading in the right direction.
Yes.
Anyway, I mean, and a lot of times these Republicans are really just admitting this is politics. What's his name? Marco?
Rubio.
Thank you. He basically admits that repealing health care isn't realistic, but Republicans should campaign on it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what they're doing, just ginning up some of these teabagger dopes. Sorry, they're not all dopes.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
just straight up obstructionism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Newt Gingrich even said, he said what you have to do is be politically honest. If the Republicans win a majority in the House and Senate next year, they will not be able to repeal the bill. The president would veto it. So it's like, it's just a ridiculous, stupid political issue to even be...
Newt Gingrich also said, though, that the Democrats would regret this just like they regret civil rights reform. That civil rights legislation was a big mistake.
Well, I'm on the president's go-for-it plan. Repealing the health care plan would mean reinstituting denials of coverage based on pre-existing condition and rescinding coverage for millions.
Right.
Good. You run on that. Mm-hmm. Go for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Obama described the Tea Party movement as a loose amalgam of forces. He said some of whom are legitimately concerned about the deficit and some of whom doubt his legitimacy as president. He said there's a lot of part of the Tea Party movement that I actually did exist before I was elected. There's some folks who just weren't sure I was born in the United States, whether I was a socialist. So there's that segment of it, which I think has just dug in ideologically. Then he said, I think there's a broader circle around that core of people who are legitimately concerned about the deficit, who are legitimately concerned about that the federal government may be taking on too much.
Amalgam.
So. Yeah.
Amalgam.
Pardon?
Amalgam. You said amalgam.
Amalgam.
Which are they're delicious.
Was that all you got from that whole story? The President of the United States addressed a very... Oh. I'm going to get you guys get certificates to Voyer. The RNC has fired the staffer who organized the nearly $2,000. Yeah, exactly. They don't want to go on the wrong night.
Ooh, yeah. Boy bits. No,
you'll be
not
like
my thing.
Bridget Jones in that bunny outfit at the wrong party. An RNC memo says the outing to Voyer West Hollywood involved several members of the Young Eagles. GOP group.
No.
Or maybe they should call them the Spread Eagles. I don't know.
Oh, hello.
Perhaps. It's like Operation Commando Eagle, Jim. It was,
Operation Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
Really? Lots of people without underpants. The club features, according to the owner, features topless dancers and bondage outfits. It's meant to be risque and provocative and a combination of intimidation and sexuality. That sounds just like our show.
Yeah.
Hey, they stole my gig.
It's kind of an amalgam of our show.
Oh, shut up.
If you put it all together, it would be an animal. An animal.
Oh, right. Granimal.
Yeah. We wear Granimals. Brought to you by the Stephanie Miller Show. Granimals. Match your shirts and pants.
I think you can.
And Hal Sparks comes up with a free sperm sample so he can be
absolutely
your sperm donor.
I think you can get an anal electric gram in West Hollywood.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
You know what? I'm going home now. I would normally thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Hal Sparks, but not today.
Aww.
We'll see you.
We love, you all day.
I'm leaving in a huff. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm leaving an hour and a half.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.